Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it 3 more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. Embattled Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez promises to get to the bottom of the dismissals of 8 federal prosecutors and whether their firings were politically motivated.
I am responsible for what happens at the Department of Justice. I acknowledge that mistakes were made here. I accept that responsibility.
This afternoon, the president's counsel traveling with Mr. Bush in Mexico said the White House stands behind Gonzalez, but some lawmakers want more answers.
Some Democrats, including those misled about the firing of the U.S. attorney, say they want Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to resign. Coming on the heels of a report the FBI abused its power under the Patriot Act, Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says it's time for Gonzalez to go.
It appears he's over his head in this job.
Both the House and Senate Judiciary Committee say they'll call Gonzalez and other officials from Justice and the White House to a new round of investigative hearings. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
On Wall Street today, the Dow plunged down 240 points at the end of trading. Analyst Eugene Peroni thinks it's part of a correction that began last month.
The market is probably going to go through a bit more decline before it really rights itself until investors are comfortable that there's some renewed opportunities and values in the market.
Part of the reason for the sell-off on Wall Street, the struggling lending industry, which is now suffering from a record high number of foreclosures, many due to adjustable rate mortgages. CBS News correspondent Peter King has that story.
It's a financial perfect storm. Higher insurance rates and property taxes and adjustable rate mortgages now adjusting higher. Richard Schramm is with the Consumer Credit Counseling Service.
And I'm not sure that a lot of people understood when they perhaps signed mortgages just what the exact meaning of an adjustable rate mortgage is.
Mortgage company owner Louis DiPaolo says lenders have also been too eager to make deals.
Typical mortgage underwriting guidelines look for only 2 months of mortgage payments in reserves,
which doesn't take other debts into account. He says lenders should be offering better advice, not just loans. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Two top military chiefs attempted today to quiet a controversy after one of them offered his opinion on homosexuality. Howard Ehrenstein has that story.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs made his personal opinion clear of gays in the military in an interview with the Chicago Tribune.
I believe that homosexual acts between individuals are immoral.
I think personal opinion really doesn't have a place here.
But Secretary of Defense Robert Gates told the Pentagon Channel Pace's opinion is irrelevant.
That's the policy of this department, and it's my responsibility to execute that policy as effectively as we can.
Pace issued a statement saying he should have stressed that he too supports the Pentagon's don't ask, don't tell policy. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Being threatened in the schoolyard early in life can change your behavior later on by killing young nerve cells that are key to memory and emotion. Researchers say that could lead to depression later on. This is CBS News.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One-Day Cold Sore Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
Someone knowing your name is no small thing. Dedicated fraud specialists there for you if your identity is stolen, that's reassuring. Not needing direct deposit with your free checking is truly free checking. Wachovia has just been rated number one in customer satisfaction for the 6th straight year. And it's not because of one big reason, but all the little ones. Are you with Wachovia?
Rating based on fourth quarter 2006 ACSI customer satisfaction results of the largest U.S. retail banks.
It's been a decade since Oregon passed its right to die law, and as Stephen Kaufman reports, many of the gloomy predictions never panned out.
10 years ago, critics said thousands of people would move to Oregon and the state would become known as the dying state because of its right to die law. George Amy with Compassion and Choices of Oregon says that dire prediction couldn't be further from the truth.
In the last 9 years, of data, it is shown that fewer than 300 people have actually taken the lethal dose of medication.
Another prediction, Amy says, that the law would prey upon the poor and disabled has also been proven to be wrong. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Spokane.
A judge has ordered O.J. Simpson to sell rights to his book If I Did It at auction and use the proceeds to settle a civil judgment against him. Simpson's book never hit store shelves, but if it's auctioned off, it may. It describes how he would have killed his former wife, Nicole, and her friend, Ron Goldman. Goldman's family says it was horrified by the contents, but the real horror was Simpson profiting from it. I'm Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango. I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pains?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba. Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Someone knowing your name is no small thing. Dedicated fraud specialists there for you if your identity is stolen, that's reassuring. Not needing direct deposit with your free checking is truly free checking. Wachovia has just been rated number one in customer satisfaction for the sixth straight year. And it's not because of one big reason, but all the little ones. Are you with Wachovia?
Rating based on fourth quarter 2006 ACSI customer satisfaction results of the largest U.S. retail banks.
Peter B. Collins!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Whoa.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Ah, but will you be laughing when it's all over 3 hours hence, huh? Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and originating on the left coast of these United States. We've got a lot to talk about today and a lot of interesting people to talk with. Coming up about a half an hour away, Democratic Congressman Mike Thompson. He represents the 1st District of California, all the way from Napa to the state line north of Eureka. He is a blue dog Democrat, a conservative type, but he voted against the war. And we're going to find out what his position is right now on the various efforts to get U.S. troops out of Iraq and hopefully back home. Also on today's program, an hour from now, Professor Michael Schwartz from Stony Brook University, where he's a prof of sociology, will join us. He's penned a piece widely circulated on the web called Surge and Destroy about our current operations in Iraq and beyond. Also on today's show, our weekly visit with Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter from truthout.org. We'll get the latest on whether Patrick Fitzgerald will go up to Capitol Hill this Friday at the invitation of Henry Waxman and offer inside information about the case against Scooter Libby and others in the White House who leaked the identity of Joe Wilson's wife. And in the Free Speech Zone today, you'll hear the comment from General Peter Pace about how letting gays in the military would be immoral. And we'll talk about that spike, 17 cents or more, in the price we're paying for gasoline at the pump in the last week alone. That and more, you can join in the conversation at any time. Call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's our toll-free number. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. I appreciate all the information, articles, and some criticisms that people send my way. That's Peter at peterbcollins.com. Joining us first on the program today is Lieutenant Eric Schein, who graduated from the Merchant Marine Academy at Kings Point, New York, and went on to serve his country. And at one point, he blew the whistle on some things that he saw that were unsavory and, in his view, illegal. And he is being punished for it. We honor whistleblowers on this program. Eric Schein, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Give us a little background. You come from a military family. You decided to go into the Merchant Marine. And from all accounts, you distinguished yourself in that pursuit. And what exactly did you blow the whistle on, Eric?
Well, we work on what are called shipping articles. They were enacted in 1791 by our founding fathers, who well understood how important and how much of a maritime nation this is.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually a federal contract of a very special form. These shipping companies, many of which you have up in your neck of the woods, Matson, American President Lines, and others, many of them are based up in Walnut Creek in that area, and they've been around for, 100 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Matson helped set up and actually was involved in what ended up being the takeover of Hawaii with a gentleman named Bishop and others.
That's right.
But beyond all that, we work on these shipping articles, and they're ancient documents. They were around before the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. They came over from England, but they're also a federal contract, and they're a provisioning document for our vessels, and they have line items in there that the federal government pays for. And one of the key or core important line items is this grievance and arbitration process that we have called the Licensed Personnel Board. And what they've done is they've not only done away with the Licensed Personnel Board, which is where we grieve any matters, whether it be about pay or leave or termination or any type of retaliatory actions. We're supposed to have this neutral board, but it's also so that we can get issues heard. Like, say you're a chief mate and you're not the captain on board, but you discover that the captain is involved in smuggling small arms into the country, or mm-hmm. slaves in containers, or a suitcase nuke, mm-hmm. or anything else. You have a system that's supposed to be set up, and we can have grievances heard within 24 hours. And that system has been taken down. It's much like the UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice. It's a system that was set up for our board that the industry itself is supposed to pay for as a cost of doing business. It's not forced upon us as individual federal maritime officers because we have access to the courts. But these enormous shipping companies that are general agencies of the federal government, they're an actual extension of the federal government, so is the Federal Officers Association. It's much like a Police Officers Association. They're using all of these federal funds that they've been afforded in trust, and they're very unsavory and not very trustworthy, and they're now using those funds against the very federal maritime officers that they're supposed to protect and defend.
Mm-hmm.
To the point now, and I'm sure you're aware, 97% of our cargo is now carried by foreign flag vessels, with less than 1% of all of that being inspected.
Well, I was just going to raise that point, Eric. I'm a sailor, and the only place I'd rather be at this moment is out on San Francisco Bay. It's almost 80 degrees today in the springtime, and that's where I'd love to be. But when I see these big container ships and the oil tankers and others clear the Golden Gate Bridge, and we look at the flag and at the the port of origin, it's usually Lagos, Nigeria, Panama City, Singapore, Amsterdam. As you pointed out, 97% of the ships that dock in the United States are foreign flag. So do these articles apply across the board to ships that operate in our waters, or just those that are flagged as U.S. carriers?
Well, the shipping articles are supposed to be honored as international agreements, and seamen are, much like our Indian tribes were, and we've seen what's happened to them. They were supposed to be almost a nation unto itself, because, they spend a good majority of their time at sea. But international treaties were formed amongst all the nations so that, and this goes even into wartime, that if there was a wayward sailor, that anyone, no matter what flag or country you were from, you would lend a hand.
Mm-hmm.
You would, do what is right. From sailing yourself that, that's the way on the waterfront.
Oh, yeah, and when I ran aground in the Delta last August, I was really glad about that. Now, Eric, you filed a series of grievances regarding ship maintenance, procedures, regulatory issues, possible illegal dumping from government vessels, civil rights violations, food issues. They were cutting you back to two meals instead of three a day. And
right.
When you did that, you were punished. Was it overt punishment, or was it the kind of sneak you, stab you in the back kind of approach?
No, it was a lot of both. They tried to set me up on various vessels and accuse me of barratry. Barratry is basically where you injure the cargo or vessel of an owner intentionally. Like, say, Joe Hazelwood on the Exxon Valdez,
mm-hmm.
Kicked off the mate off of the helm and took it over and ran it into the reef intentionally. That would be barratry. They accused me of insubordination, failed to follow direct order. The Coast Guard went on board and found that none of these charges were supportable. But most importantly, what they're doing is they're using the Coast Guard as the regulatory agency to come in and protect those it is to regulate. And they're doing this even in the railroad industry. Like, there's been articles in the New York Times about not only, I think it was a Miss Monroe, she was head of the Federal Railroad Administration.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually in bed, literally, or at least figuratively, with the railroads, going on vacation with them. And there's instances of where regulators who were going out to fine the railroads for safety violations were offered a job by the railroad and started the very next day at $320,000. Hmm. The very same thing is going on with the Coast Guard. I tried to stop an explosion on board a government vessel. It was actually up in San Francisco at the time, Alameda. Before it happened, I refused to carry out the order as directed. They had the junior officer do it. And sure enough, there was an explosion, flashback, and he got burned. And the injuries were not too severe, but at some point you've got somebody that's willing to stand up, speak out. Those are the kind of people that you want to keep on board, not terminate and fire. The very same vessel, they dumped hazardous materials into the harbor up there, tons and tons of boiler water. And the Coast Guard officer who was involved, this Lieutenant AAA, he's the investigating officer 2 years later after the shipping companies and the Federal Officers Association carried out a series of retributions and retaliations, charges me with, quote-unquote, being depressed.
And that's a crime?
I guess so, according to the Coast Guard. Even this goes up to a vice admiral, the vice commandant of the Coast Guard. She signed off on it, and she's allowing. Now they're bringing in this new ALJ. They had an administrative law judge up there from Treasure Island. He was the first one, and they prosecuted me aggressively. They seized medical records, personal records. They falsified medical records, introduced them into court.
And is this because depression is seen as a debilitating condition that would make you unsuitable to go back on ship?
No, it's because it's the only thing that they could get me for after torturing me so.
Mm-hmm.
They figured that, hey, at least we can get him for this. You know, it's like shooting somebody in the leg and then charging them for being shot in the leg. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
It's not even funny.
Well, it isn't, but I
will go to and the number and type of people that are involved.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't laughing at you, just the characterization.
No, I know.
Do understand. We're going to take a break.
You're laughing because it's funny because it's so true.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Lieutenant Eric Schein, a whistleblower who is paying a price. We'll find out more exactly what they're extracting from him as we continue. You can join in toll free 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market.
So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
And the Peter B. Collins Show sails on. 21 minutes after the hour, we're talking with Merchant Marine Lieutenant Eric Schein here on the PBC show. And he's a whistleblower who is paying a price for it. Now, in the materials I've read, and by the way, people can read more about this at the website martiallaw911.com, MARTIALLAW911.com, and there's quite a bit of info there. Eric, from what I understand, one of the issues that you've uncovered is that the board set up by Congress to manage and, I guess, facilitate the articles that you referred to that regulate the treatment of people in the Merchant Marine, that the board has been essentially dissolved, and the allegation is that this permits the theft of billions of dollars of American taxpayer funds.
Yes, and it's worse than that, because even in our shipping articles, we're given, and you have to think about the brilliance of this, we're given the individual or specific authority to protect our own positions and decide who does our job, whether we contract out certain work on board or do it ourselves. That right is supposed to be given to us, and they've taken that away. So at some point you see where the move has been to where now 97% of the cargo coming in is on foreign flag. And what's scary about this is that they're trying to take down our cabotage laws, the laws that permit only American citizens in working in our coastal ports up and down the Mississippi and other rivers and tributaries and lakes, even the Great Lakes, to where now they want to be able to bring in foreigners at a reduced cost that affects issues of not only national security but civil defense. And civil defense and national security are inseparable and intertwined, because one portion of civil defense is that we need to have our populace, our people, our citizens, well taken care of, well provided for, good jobs, medical benefits, and more, especially if they're a federal officer or in such a position where you're working on board, say, like a liquefied natural gas carrier or something like the Exxon Valdez or even a container ship, mm-hmm. where any small error can have catastrophic outfall upon. I mean, if you've seen some of the what's happened when an LNG blows up, it'll wipe out a city.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a strategic nuke. That's mm-hmm. how bad the outfall is.
Mm-hmm. Now, what else have they done to you, Eric, in terms of making your life miserable? Because it sounds like they've really laid it on thick to you.
Well, they've thrown the book at me, literally. I mean, I'm not in the Coast Guard, first and foremost. I have a naval commission coming out of Kings Point and a Coast Guard license, and this goes into separation of powers. We have a separate and distinct federal and military service called Kings Point, and we have another one called the Coast Guard Academy, and we have another one called the Naval Academy. I come out with all of these strong protections and provisions so that not only can I protect myself, but I can blow the whistle or address larger issues. Whether it be, you know, ship-specific to a certain vessel or fleet-wide. And what's happened is the Coast Guard has some authority to come in under 46 U.S.C. 10302 and make sure the shipping articles are on the vessel and that they're posted, which is a safety issue, and it goes to certification of the vessel. But instead, they're trying to seize control of another valid federal and military branch of service. They've put out a bolo on me saying that I may be dangerous. They've seized medical records, falsified medical records. They've forced me under counsel, who's a risk manager for the shipping companies and Federal Officers Association, that I already had pre-existing civil complaints against in federal district court trying to address the issue of the shipping articles, which is it's general maritime and admiralty law, which is constitutional. The shipping articles are actually incorporated. They're valid articles of agreement. They're incorporated within the Constitution, not the Bill of Rights, but the Constitution itself. It's akin to what a U.S. ambassador works under. And the reason for that is that an American flag vessel is considered sovereign soil. It's basically a floating U.S. embassy. Mm-hmm. And that's how it was, you know, seen when our country was founded, and for the longest period of time up and until now, when everything, even federal and military positions, the CIA, I think they had a article out saying 50 to 75% of the CIA is now outsourced.
Mm-hmm.
That's well, insane.
Eric, it just strikes me that all the time and effort they're putting into trying to keep you in line or shut you up has to distract and divert from any effort to protect our ports, to protect the shipping in and out of this country. And I'll just tell you one quick story. A friend of mine retired from the wharf in Oakland. He was a longshoreman for 40-plus years just last year. And he told me this story, that in the past 12 months, there was a ship that left Oakland, and it tested positive for some sort of radioactive reading. But because we don't really have very good systems in place to protect other ports, you know, we're trying first and foremost to protect our own, this shipment was permitted to leave, and there was a mysterious fire on this ship in the Indian Ocean about 2 weeks later. Now, I don't have all the details, and I'm not trying to turn that into a big brouhaha, but you know, we are not defending our ports very well, and for them to take this energy, effort, and money to go after you just seems so misguided.
Well, and it's a violation of the separation of powers, because I was in the judiciary in Article 3 proceedings. The Article 2 executive branch brought counter-complaint against me to effectively administratively quash the civil complaints, pull me out of civil court, and then turn who was a complainant into a defendant.
That's amazing.
Oh, and it goes to what's going on in our country and how gravely serious it is. And if people don't realize it and step forward, and you can see where 97% of the merchant marine has now been outsourced, even though it's a valid federal and military branch of service. Think of all of our other industries.
Yeah. Well, Eric, I want to thank you for joining us. Thanks for blowing the whistle and telling your story. Again, the website, martiallaw911.com, will give you full information on this case, and I wish you all the best.
Thanks. And it's a lieutenant in the Navy. I have a naval commission, not a merchant marine.
My apologies. I didn't mean to demote you.
All right,
Eric, great to talk to you. Coming up next, Congressman Mike Thompson checks in here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to ask him about his position on getting the troops out of Iraq and give him a chance to tell us where he's at. You can call at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works.
Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake Elistero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue they could be. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a bill of fare. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a Baba Ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG. For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
33 minutes after the hour here on the left coast of the United States, I'm Peter B. Collins. And momentarily, we're expecting to be joined by Congressman Mike Thompson, the Democrat who represents the sprawling 1st District of California, runs all the way from Napa up through Mendocino County to Humboldt County and all the way to the Oregon border. And Mike Thompson is a Blue Dog Democrat, And in hearing from some listeners in the Eureka area who tune in on the mighty KGOE 1480, I know there's some misgivings about his position vis-a-vis Iraq. And as we wait for the congressman to connect up with us, I'll just share with you the information from his website about his current position. He is an author of H.R. 787, which is described here as restricting the president's dangerous escalation of the Iraq war, sets firm deadlines for redeployment, and it has picked up about a total of 45 co-sponsors. And this item at the website describes Thompson's bill as the only Iraq legislation in the House with bipartisan support and the only one with a Senate companion, which is authored by Senator Barack Obama. Thompson has a quote here. This bill is an achievable strategy for ending our involvement in the war and helping the Iraqi government stabilize their country. The support for this bill is an indication that many members of Congress are ready to find a solution to the crisis in Iraq and get our troops out as safely and quickly as possible. He introduced the bill last month with Congressman Patrick Murphy of Pennsylvania as a co-sponsor. And here's another quote from Thompson. I've been against this war since the beginning and think our troops should have been redeployed long ago. Our troops have done everything we've asked of them, and they shouldn't be in the middle of Iraq's civil war. The Iraqi government should step up and take responsibility for securing their country. And one more quote from the congressman. The president's escalation plan is a continuation of his failed stay the course slogan. We should be putting our resources toward a surge in diplomacy, not troops. That's the only way we will effectively help bring stability and ultimately peace to Iraq. Congressman Mike Thompson joins us now here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Congressman, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Nice to talk with you, sir, and I appreciate you taking the time because I know you're very busy in session this week. The Congress is even going to meet on Friday. Speaker Pelosi has been demanding more of you than the Republicans did.
We've been working a lot. There's no question about that. We've actually got a lot done also. We've had a pretty full January and February, and we seem to be trying to duplicate that in March. So mm-hmm. I'm pretty pleased with the workload.
Congressman, I want to focus almost exclusively today on the issues related to Iraq, the escalation, and trying to build a Democratic coalition or consensus around a single piece of legislation. And I was just in the moments while you were getting on the line, I was reading from the press release, which is posted at your website, about your points on H.R. 787. I'd like you to tell us about that. Then I want to talk about the current speaker's bill and also compare and contrast those two to the legislation that Lynn Woolsey has authored that many of our listeners are familiar with. So first and foremost to 787, what is your view as to whether you can, you know, galvanize the entire Democratic caucus in the House around this bill?
Well, I think it's going well, let me put it that way. I believe we have 66 co-authors on the bill now. We've got co-authors both on the Democratic side of the aisle and the Republican side of the aisle. It's, as I understand it, the only Iraq bill that has bipartisan support in the House, and it's the only Iraq bill that has a companion bill in the U.S. Senate. So we're quite a ways ahead of any other efforts. It's also the bill that was used to put together the Senate Democratic plan for dealing with Iraq, which I think they're voting on here next week. And a lot of what is in the bill that you referenced as the Speaker's bill have great similarities with what's in the bill that Patrick Murphy and I submitted. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going great guns trying to get people signed up on it.
And what's the distinction between your bill and the Woolsey bill, which I am familiar with? It does essentially call for cutting off funding for the war in Iraq. It also requires additional spending on veterans issues, bans permanent bases, and I believe it still has a clause that would prevent the president from engaging in military action in Iran without further congressional approval.
Yeah, I'm not certain of all the provisions of her bill. There were a couple of parts of it that I had concern with.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah. One is the cutting off of the funds. I think we have to be very careful how we do that. We don't want to cut any funds off that would preclude us from getting our troops home as quickly and safely as possible, nor would we want to...
But isn't there enough money in the pipeline, as Dennis Kucinich has pointed out...
I don't know.
...to bring the troops home in the near term without additional authorizations?
I don't know. But what I do know is I would hesitate to put my name on anything that could be construed as the reason why troops were put in an even greater situation than they are currently in. And then secondly, I don't think the timetable in that bill is doable. I just don't think you can get out of Iraq as quickly as that bill calls for us to get out of Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Now, Congressman, I understand the politics of the picture here, particularly in the United States Senate. There were not enough Republican votes to end debate, to have a debate on the non-binding resolution just 3 weeks ago. And I also recognize that in the House, even in the Democratic caucus by itself, that there is not unanimity. It's very difficult to forge common ground. And so I have respect for the difficulties that you face, and also I am aware that with the cut-and-run lines, the bleed strategy, the language that the Republicans use is a very real threat to Democrats prevailing on these issues. So I am not oversimplifying or, you know, believing that these things can be navigated very easily. With that said, I believe that you cannot negotiate with this administration. I don't think that they will ever compromise, and I think that the only way to get this president's attention and get him to change his course in Iraq is to either threaten to or actually cut off funds and, you know, cut this $100 billion supplemental that is before you right now in half or in thirds and say, Mr. President, you can't get any more money until you start listening to us.
You're making a circular argument. You started out by stating that there weren't the votes to do even the more moderate approaches, and you ended up saying we ought to vote to do the more radical approach.
Well, and here's how I would explain that. In the Senate, that's not possible. In the House, it is.
No, it
because
was.
If the House takes a strong position, then the president doesn't have the funding to continue.
Peter?
Yes, sir.
My point is, and you made my point for me when you started out, there aren't the votes to do that.
I understand your point. I'd like to see leadership in that direction.
Peter, it's not even a point. It's just a fact. There aren't the votes to do what you're suggesting to be done. There aren't the votes to do what I wanted to do last year, which was began redeployment at the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't the votes to do the original draft of the speaker's bill that she put forward, and it's going to be, I think, very, very difficult to get the votes necessary to pass even the more moderate bill that the speaker's talking about putting on the floor next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's not what you or I would like to see happen, but it's just the reality of the Congress.
I hear you there, sir. Now, let me ask you about one other issue, and then I want to go to the callers. We got a full switchboard here. I am disappointed that in order to get the passage that you just described, and I do understand how difficult it is, that the Speaker has elected to strip out the provision which would have prevented the President from engaging in military action against Iran without explicit congressional approval. Tell me your thoughts on that, and if you support the removal of it from the current debate over Iraq.
Well, first and foremost, I support the bill language that will get our troops out of Iraq as quickly and safely as possible. Now, I'm going to defer some to the Speaker, who is probably the best strategic mind in politics today, and in regard to foreign policy, she's an absolute master. So I'm going to defer to her on how she does that in regard to the specific language. But I don't think had she left that language in, I know had she left that language in, she wouldn't have even come close to the votes that she needs. And it's my understanding that the language in itself would have a little effect, a little difference in what existing law has in regard to what the president can or can't do in Iran.
I understand. I think it's an important marker. The Reagan administration tromped all over the Boland Amendment, but it did establish what the standard of the Congress was at that time. And I think that that is an important statement in and of itself.
And, Peter, another issue that is just a practical issue, we don't have the troop readiness to go into Iran or to go anyplace else.
That's right.
And so I don't think that the president can do anything in regard to Iran for that reason alone.
Well, he could do something foolish, and that's what I'm concerned about. Let's
why
take some phone
change,
calls.
Why would he change course now?
One other quick note. I realize that over the last few weeks, people have been camping out in your office, including some people who listen regularly to this program, and I thank you for not dipping into the Frank Riggs pepper spray supply.
Well, I got to tell you, and we've had in a couple of my offices, we've had some folks show up on a very regular basis, and I've got to appreciate their willingness to take the time to show their interest in this, and I deeply appreciate the passion that they have on this issue. This group of people have done a lot to study the issue. They're very passionate about their position on it, and as someone who has been struggling from day one on trying to do the best possible public policy in regard to this mess, I find it heartening that people are in fact plugged in and wanting. I think our interests are all the same. We all want to get the troops out as quickly as we can. So I appreciate that.
Sly in Arcata, thanks for your call. You're on the air with Congressman Mike Thompson.
Hello, Peter and Congressman Thompson.
How are you?
My issue or question is about the Iraq War, but in the larger context of of the military budget and the national debt. And on your website, you have listed the current national debt as $8.83 trillion. And the Iraq War costs are part of this, but before I get to that, Cynthia McKinney, as a former member of the House Armed Services Committee, mentioned that the Pentagon is missing and cannot account for a total of $3.4 trillion. The eventual Iraq war cost, as listed by Joseph Stiglitz, a Nobel Prize-winning economist, are $2.25 trillion. You add this up, and that adds up to about $5.75 trillion. Throw in some wasted money for the failed Star Wars system, and we're pretty much at $6 trillion, which I consider to be wasted. And that's In the current population of the United States of 300 million, that works out to $20,000 a person. You go on up the ladder to a town of around 50,000, which is somewhat bigger than Eureka, and you have $1 billion just wasted.
All right, Sly, let me stop you there because we're short of time here.
Right.
Let's get a reaction from the congressman. Mike?
Oh, I'm against government waste, and I'm against the outrageous national debt. That's why it's not only on my website, but on a big chart outside my door in my office here in the Capitol. And that's why anytime I'm any place and I'm making public comments, one of the things that I've talked about ad nauseum, and you can check this with any Rotary Club, Sir Optimus Club, Chamber of Commerce, Democratic Central Committee, or anything else throughout my district, is a national debt. It's I'm a fiscal conservative, and I've made this an issue from the day that I said I was going to run for Congress.
We're going to take a break and return with Congressman Mike Thompson, the Democrat who represents the 1st District of California. There's room for one or two more calls at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Thank you. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Pour me another tequila, Sheila.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored will retake the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
There was this man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave. Almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. As generous a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still your humble host, Peter B. It's 8 minutes away from the hour. Our guest, Congressman Mike Thompson, the Democrat who represents District 1, the sprawling Northern California coastal district that runs from the wine country all the way up to the Oregon border. And, Congressman, it's not on our agenda today, but I'll just thank you for your work on the Klamath and trying to preserve salmon and salmon fisheries here in California.
Thank you very much.
Let's take more calls. Alice.
You know, we won our lawsuit. You probably know that I was one of the people that sued the President of the United States in regard to what the havoc he created on the Klamath River, and we won that lawsuit.
Well, thank you for your work on that. It's certainly been challenging. Alice in Eureka, you're next. Go right ahead, ma'am.
Peter and Mike Thompson, I'm 93 years old, and it's...
Go ahead,
and
Alice.
And it's not for me that I worry, as I see the country being destroyed. It troubles me greatly when I have good people like yourself saying things like, we can't do it. We don't have the votes. I say try. Take the lead. Try to turn some of this craziness around. The Republicans have done more harm than should ever have been allowed.
Well, thank you, Alice. And you know, I have tried, as you probably know. I am one of the people that went to Iraq before the war to the great attack of the National Republican Committee, who labeled me everything from un-American to an out-and-out traitor. I came back. I told my colleagues what I saw. I told him I didn't think we should go to Iraq, that it was foolish, that there was no imminent threat. I told my colleagues that I felt that it would be a long, hard, tragic battle fighting in that type of environment over there. And it was going to be not the first vote that was going to be hard, but the subsequent votes that were going to be even harder, that were going to be a problem. I made that argument on the floor. I voted against the Iraq war. I was the first member of Congress to call for Donald Rumsfeld to be fired. I authored legislation last year that had a date certain that we would start our redeployment. And my colleague Patrick Murphy, who is also a combat veteran, I was a paratrooper in Vietnam. Patrick was a paratrooper in Iraq. We authored legislation that calls for all combat troops to be out by March of 2008 and the redeployment to start May of this year.
And,
so I've been
Congressman,
fighting the battle, and I'll continue to do so.
We appreciate that. Where are the problems in the Democratic caucus? Who can we lean on to move into your direction?
Well, as I say, we don't have the votes to do even what Patrick Murphy and I are attempting to do at this time. There's an effort right now by the Speaker to figure out where that equilibrium point is. And I just left another meeting today. I've been in more Iraq meetings in the last 3 days trying to convince folks that we should be bold and help to move in a new direction in that area. I was just in one before coming on the phone. And even in the legislation that you referenced earlier that the Speaker is talking about, there's great heartburn on the part of a lot of Democrats as far as voting for that bill.
Alice, thank you for your call. I really appreciate your listening and contributing. Jake in Arcata is next. Go ahead, Jake.
Hello, Peter B. Congressman, you know, the public did vote in November for the Democrats so that they would bring this war to an end. You have two-thirds of the public.
That was one of the reasons, yes.
Yes, sir. There's two-thirds of the public that want the war over. There's a similar number that think that Democratic leaders in Congress are not doing enough to restrain Bush and Cheney, not doing enough to stop the war. You know, in 2002, I do appreciate your vote against the war, but here we are in 2007. We found out that all the reasons for the war were lies. They forged evidence about uranium from Niger. We now found that Scooter Libby is being convicted of perjury and obstruction of justice. The entire reason for the war was false. It was a fraud. So now where are we in this country? Isn't it time that instead of just, you know, giving Bush and Cheney more time, shouldn't the leaders in the Democratic Congress round up the votes? Isn't that your job, to round up the votes and bring an end to this war? And if necessary, sir, cut off the funds.
Well, again, if there isn't the votes to do the bill that I just described that I authored, there's not the votes to cut off the funds. That's the underlying issue here. There aren't the votes to do this as fast as you or I would like it to be done. And the rounding up the votes is what's taking place now. And I have great confidence that this speaker will craft legislation that will get the requisite number of votes, and it'll be the strongest legislation possible. There's a very distinct difference between what Speaker Pelosi is talking about doing, just in the bill that Peter talked about today, setting a date certain, setting a timeline. That's 180 degrees different from what the Bush and Cheney folks want to do, which is no deadline, stay there for 20 more years.
Let me get
so
a quick
to
comment.
Suggest that they aren't doing enough. You know, I don't think it's that statement was made with an understanding of the reality on the ground.
Let me get a quick comment in just 20 seconds, Dave. Go right ahead.
Well, Mr. Thompson, I regret to be the one to tell you, but all of us that have studied your resolution don't like it. A number of reasons. One provision that's in there says the Iraqi people have to come up with how many billions of dollars to repair the war damages. That voids the whole damn thing if they can't do it.
No, that's not what it says. There's a provision in there in the benchmarks that they have to spend the money that they have. They already have the money, and what's happening is they're not spending it, and that's one of the provisions that is outlined in the benchmarks, and that's from the Iraq study group.
Congressman,
so
Mike Thompson,
wrong on the issue.
Thank you for facing us today. I appreciate your straightforward answers, and I do believe we're on the same page ultimately, so let's keep working in that direction.
Peter, thanks for all that you do to help bring this to the public's attention. We just need to get more people on board. The faster we do that, the faster we get our people home.
Mike Thompson on the...
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With P. Lahr. With P. Lahr.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows.
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Attorney General admits mistakes in the firings of federal prosecutors.
I accept responsibility for what happened here.
More people are falling behind on their mortgages.
The delinquency rate is going up, and foreclosures are now at a record high.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. After new revelations about the firings of eight federal prosecutors, angry Democrats say Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez should resign. He's resisting, but admits there were problems. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato begins our coverage.
The Attorney General says he accepts responsibility.
I acknowledge that mistakes were made here.
Not the firings themselves, though.
I stand by the decision, and I think it was the right decision.
What was wrong, he says, was that his top aide, Kyle Sampson, failed to disclose White House involvement.
Consequently, information was shared with the Congress that was incomplete.
Sampson's emails reveal he worked with the White House on a detailed plan to push out prosecutors. He warns, quote, "We must all be on the same page and steel to withstand any political upheaval." Sampson has agreed to resign. Gonzalez won't.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Senators who first raised questions about these suspicious firings were furious they had not been told the truth. New York Democrat Chuck Schumer said Attorney General Gonzalez should resign.
The cloud over the Justice Department is getting darker and darker.
Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid agreed, while Judiciary Committee Chairman Pat Leahy says he'll get to the truth.
I've had the briefings. I didn't get the answers. We'll now have them under oath in an open hearing.
Those hearings could include top White House officials, too. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Peter Mayer with the president in Merida, Mexico. The White House portrays President Bush as the head of the Federal Complaint Department, fielding Republican gripes about U.S. attorneys and passing the issues on to their boss, the Attorney General. But presidential counselor Dan Bartlett insists the president's role stopped there.
There was no directive given as far as telling him to fire anybody or anything like that.
Bartlett all but shuts the door on Democratic calls to question top presidential aides about the firings.
Mr. Bush met today with the new Mexican president, Felipe Calderon, who said the only real solution to the illegal immigration problem is more economic opportunity in Mexico. Now this.
Hi, Dave. Larry here. Hey, next Tuesday, one wheel from every pallet truck is going to fall off. Strangest thing. It'll basically grind the floor to a halt. How about that? Just wanted you to be prepared. Bye.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Granger's just added a massive amount of material handling products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. From casters and wheels to carts, trucks, and conveyors, we have what you need to move, handle, and store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality, professional-looking documents. Our design print and ship depot can print almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff sparked a fire in his interview with the Chicago Tribune.
I believe that homosexual acts between individuals are immoral.
Today, General Peter Pace said he should have focused less on his personal moral views. Defense Secretary Robert Gates agrees.
I think personal opinion really doesn't have a place here. What's important is that we have a law, a statute that governs don't ask, don't tell. That's the policy of this department.
Pace says he supports the policy. White House spokesman Tony Snow, asked about the general's comments, said the president's always said the most important thing is that we ought not to prejudge one another.
CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv says the surge of troops into Iraq has been accompanied by a surge in military recruitment.
The four branches of the military say in this fiscal year since October, they're exceeding their targets. Their goal in February was 12,800 new recruits. They got more than 13,000.
Even with the challenges we face from a strong economy and the war, recruitment, thanks to recruiters and young people, is going well.
Bill Carr, the Pentagon official in charge of military personnel, says recruits realize the dangers of being in combat, but many Americans, he says, do want to serve and enjoy education and other benefits. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
An update on Senator Tim Johnson, the South Dakota Democrat who had emergency surgery in December for bleeding in his brain. He's making a slow recovery. Today, Johnson's office released photographs for the first time. They show him in a rehabilitation facility sitting in a wheelchair. A statement says the senator has limited use of his right arm and leg. He's working on walking and learning to write with his left hand. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One-Day Cold Sores Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
Someone knowing your name is no small thing. Dedicated fraud specialists there for you if your identity is stolen, that's reassuring. Not needing direct deposit with your free checking is truly free checking. Wachovia has just been rated number one in customer satisfaction for the sixth straight year. And it's not because of one big reason, but all the little ones. Are you with Wachovia?
Rating based on fourth quarter 2006 ACSI customer satisfaction results of the largest U.S. retail banks.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco.
Ooh.
Call in anytime, toll-free, at 1-888-5-PETER-B, and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
I'm your humble host, Peter B. Thanks for joining us on this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. They named it after me. How about that? Coming up about a half hour, Jason Leopold in his weekly appearance on the PBC show. He's the investigative reporter at truthout.org. And we're going to talk about the Waxman hearing scheduled for this Friday. Valerie Plame Wilson has accepted an invitation to testify. And for me, it'll be the first time I hear her voice in public. But will Patrick Fitzgerald agree to visit the Waxman Committee? I believe discussions are underway about that today or tomorrow. Jason will give us the latest when he joins us in about a half an hour. But first, Professor Michael Schwartz teaches sociology at Stony Brook University. And he published a piece originally at Tom Dispatch, but I found it at Truth Out, and it's perhaps at other websites as well, called Surge and Destroy, some interesting fodder for conversation. Professor Schwartz, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to talk with you. And we always like to divine the connections with Tom Englehart, because he has done a fabulous job with Tom Dispatch, bringing some great voices, and some of them actually turn into book deals, like Elizabeth de la Vega.
yes. Yeah, no, he's invented a new journalistic form, I think, you know. And it's really quite wonderful. I mean, every time I put a commentary on his, on Tom Dispatch, more people read it than the entire corpus of my academic works combined.
Wow.
It's really...
Well, that's flattering and frustrating all at the same time, I guess.
Yeah. What have I been doing all these years?
Well, I was struck by the piece you wrote, and I'm glad you could join us today. It's entitled Surge and Destroy, The Brutality Escalates in Iraq. And your piece is divided into three parts, so let's pretty much take them in sequence here. First of all, the effort to conduct sweeps in Sadr City, formerly Saddam City, has been met with some interesting reactions. First and foremost, it appears that Muqtada al-Sadr has instructed his forces, his militia, to melt away and to avoid direct confrontations with the American embedded Iraqi, I don't know who's embedded with whom, but you know what I mean, the blended forces there. And yet we saw just a couple of days ago what was either a tragic accident or a misread provocation, but American troops fired at a car and killed a number of people. And it's those kinds of incidents that can set back the effort to try to secure that area and bring relative peace and stability to the populace.
Well, I think that there's more... There's a deeper thing that's setting back that effort, which is that... Are you there?
Your phone is fading a little bit, so if you can talk right into the mouthpiece, that'd help.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This part of the American strategy, which is they are doing sweeps in Sadr City now, but what they're not doing is the breaking down the doors and the rough attacks on individual homes or looking for suspected insurgents, digging up people's yards, looking for weapons, and generally this kind of very destructive and aggressive methodology that they're using in the Sunni areas. And what the Mahdi's army is doing is what classic guerrilla armies have always done, which is to melt away when they're faced with a superior force.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the Americans leave, of course, the Mahdi's go back on patrol in those communities. So we're talking about a community that is basically ruled by the Sadrists, you know, that they have social welfare operations, they have local clerical leaders, and they are the local government, except when the Americans are there. So the Sadrists, of course, are the most visible and leading force that has a voice in that society, aside from the insurgents who don't really have a voice, who keep saying the only thing that will satisfy them is when the Americans leave. So the attack on the Sadrists is an attempt to reduce them as a powerful force in the society because they're antagonistic to American presence there. This will not accomplish that because what the Sadrists are doing is the Mahdi's melt away, and then when the U.S. leaves, they come back and they restore their local government. Now, if the United States wanted to actually run Sadr City and other Shia areas of Baghdad, they would have to leave thousands and thousands and thousands of troops in those areas.
But isn't that what the president projected? He didn't necessarily promise it, but in the January speech about the surge, he said that we need to clear and hold these areas. And we have not been holding. We've been clearing and moving on, creating the whack-a-mole scenarios that continue to plague us.
Right. So we can see already that this particular piece of how they're doing it can't work, right? He actually said that the new slogan would be clear, hold, and build,
mm-hmm. right?
So he's actually added a third piece in which the idea is that finally reconstruction would come to these areas along with the American presence. Now, they haven't been trying to do that in the Shia areas, right? They haven't really cleared it because clearing would mean actually eliminating the Mahdi's, and they haven't done that. And they haven't tried to hold it, and of course, they haven't been doing any building either. So the real question here is not so much what might happen if the Americans continue to do this, but what might happen if the Americans decide that they have to do something much more aggressive, right? And they might get to a situation in which the Mahdi's army might be forced to fight, because if they were doing sweeps in Sadr City the way they do sweeps in Sunni areas, they would be breaking down houses, blowing holes in the side of buildings, going in, arresting every draft-age male in the area, converting these areas into free fire zones, in effect.
And would you call that the Fallujah approach?
That's the Fallujah approach, but when they announced the surge, they said we're going to model it after the Battle of Tal Afar, which was conducted in exactly the same way Fallujah was. So they've been using Tal Afar as the model that they're talking about, which is a city in the far west of Anbar province, which was another one of these very active and central areas of activity for the insurgents.
and which they are also occupying the way they've occupied Fallujah. And so they say, yeah, this is what they've been doing in Sunni neighborhoods in Baghdad, and notably in the Haifa Street area, which is the one major battle that they fought in Baghdad mm-hmm. since the announcement of the surge.
Right, and that's the area just outside the green zone that presumably should be more easily secured.
Right, but what actually it is it's pretty much of a ghost town right now with the fighting still going on. They surrounded it and told everybody to leave, but then they wouldn't let the men leave because they thought the men were insurgents and they'd be melting away and they wouldn't be able to get them. So then this had all these trapped men in there, so there was this huge battle. Of course, the U.S. won that battle, but the guerrillas are now buried in various houses and fighting in various ways. And the question, the Sunni leadership in Baghdad, not just the guerrilla leadership, but also the people in the parliament, are saying that this is actually a smokescreen for ethnic cleansing, because apparently they're not letting the residents back in, and this, you know, the area is secured by Shia Iraqi troops trained by and commanded by the Americans, but they're Shia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their approach to this is to keep the Sunnis out and to make this community available to Shias who have been displaced in the ethnic cleansing parts and other parts. They're going to bring Shia into this neighborhood is what they intend. And the Sunnis think that the U.S. military is in effect, clearing out these Sunni areas in order for Shia to get them. So it's part of ethnic cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of charges that the Americans are basically now participating in ethnic cleansing of Sunnis, right, as a result of this battle and other battles that have taken place in Baghdad. So if they go into this model where they're really very, very destructive and going through Sadr City or other Shia areas, then it probably will become necessary for the Sadrists to fight. The Mahdi's army will stay and fight to protect their homes, essentially,
mm-hmm.
from this thing. And then there will be these huge battles in Shia areas. And, of course, the Shia South has been relatively quiescent. This will result in huge, upsurge in all those areas. And the war will have escalated dramatically if they do that. So I don't know, what's really interesting about that part of the surge right now is that these search operations are not working to remove the Mahdi's, and so therefore they have to think of something else. And if they think of the logical thing, which is to escalate, the escalation level will go way high because of the fact that they'll be now moving, having a two-front war, the second front against the Shia, who, are part of the government.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, we need to take a break. When we return with Professor Michael Schwartz, we'll ask him to comment from his article about Iran and the way the Bush administration has been staging an increasingly confrontational approach. If you have a comment that you'd like to share with us, get on the line now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest traffic and get you folks to your destination safely. All right, we're going to tell you a little bit about Salinas. This crash is coming in Dumbarton Road at 101. So it'll be 101 at Dumbarton Road, getting word of a two-vehicle crash there. And that one, again, just being reported from CHP. Santa Clara, 152 at Bloomfield. We have an accident reported there. Now, this is in Santa Clara County. It's a bus involved and possible injuries. Looks like it could be a school bus. No further details. CHP en route to the scene there. This support brought to you by your Dodge dealers. It's National Truck Month at your Dodge dealer, where you can get up to $5,000 cash allowance on Dodge Ram. Plus, ask for your dealer for the Hemi upgrade on one of America's hottest trucks. See your Dodge dealer today. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm Peter B. Coming up about 10 minutes or so, Jason Leopold returns. We're going to talk about the prospect of Patrick Fitzgerald going up to testify about the Libby case and the CIA leak to Henry Waxman's committee. That's coming up in just a few minutes. We continue our conversation with Professor Michael Schwartz. He's at Stony Brook University, where he teaches sociology. We're talking about his article called Surge and Destroy.
This ain't no technological breakdown.
Well, it feels like we've been to hell and back a few times with this elective war in Iraq, and it appears the president wants to extend that roadway into Iran. Now, in the last couple of weeks, things have simmered down a little bit, and it was interesting to see Iranians represented at the conference in Baghdad last weekend. But, Professor, on this program, we've talked to a number of experts over the last 9 months who have indicated that we are certainly in preparation mode for an attack on Iran, at least from Navy and Air Force facilities. And we've seen the ratcheting confrontation with the Bush administration pointing a finger at Iran for the shaped explosives that have been showing up in Iraq. And, of course, that's been going on for years, but the finger pointing is recent.
Yeah, and I think the shaped explosives charge is a really critical one for understanding what's going on here because, the way that they're presenting this is that these shaped explosives are being imported from Iran and they're being used to kill American troops. But what the Iranians, if the Iranians are importing any weapons, and they might be or they might not be, they're certainly not importing them and giving them to the Sunni insurgents who are the ones fighting this big war with the United States.
That's right.
They supply Shia forces like the Mahdi's army, perhaps, and the Skiri's Badr Brigade,
mm-hmm.
right, who are, at this moment at least, not fighting the Americans. We just talked about how the Americans are going into Sadrist areas and the Mahdi's are not fighting them, right? So whatever explosives they may be getting from Iran are not being used to kill American troops, at least except in a stray way every once in a while.
Right.
So the idea that this is, they're being used to kill American troops is really basically hogwash. Now, the reason this is so significant is that this is exactly what the United States did in the run-up to the war with Iraq,
yep.
is come up with these charges that are plausible and to scream them very loud and make them sound very dire and like terrible things are going on, and then you find out that there's no substance to them.
Yeah, but nobody's told Cheney. He was back at it again yesterday, giving a speech to AIPAC, and again conflating 9/11 with Saddam Hussein and the need to invade Iraq.
Right, and I think, you know, if we take seriously the fact that this is a pattern, then I think you end up in the place where a lot of commentators are, which is that there's clearly very serious planning going on for an invasion or an attack on Iran, probably not an invasion because they simply do not have the troops to invade. You know, they have no way of mounting an actual ground invasion, so they're going to use an air attack mode
mm-hmm.
If they do it. Now, the one, you know, and the consequences of this are incredibly dire. If they actually attack nuclear facilities in Iran, if there are any to attack, and they really blow them up, then they will spread nuclear waste all over the place and you know, cause deaths to large numbers of people. And if there aren't any nuclear plants, they will be bombing sites, and the list of sites is apparently into the hundreds
right.
that they have. So they will be bombing sites in highly populated areas, which will be slaughtering tens of thousands of people, and we're talking about a whole other magnitude of slaughter here that the United States will be engaged in, which is, you know, just a horrifying to contemplate. To what end? The real purpose here is to overthrow this regime, which the Bush administration sees as its rival in the Middle East, right? So it's part of a kind of larger image of the United States really dominating the Middle East and Iran being in their way. So the purpose in this is to advance that same program that got us into the Iraq war, in which so many of us are saying, give it up. You shouldn't want to dominate the Middle East. You're not going to be able to, and you're going to take the world down with you trying.
Michael Schwartz writes, the logic of the situation suggests that this is all saber-rattling, an attempt to use the threat of war to wrest concessions from the Iranians. But we're dealing with the Bush administration, which has a habit of pursuing counterproductive policies. We must watch the events of the coming months, particularly the current talk about actual negotiation between the U.S. and Iran, carefully. This one could tip either way. And I share your concern there.
Yeah.
We do seem to have dialed back a little bit in the last couple of weeks, but that could be just another effort to distract us or
It's very hard to tell whether they're serious about it or not. They did the same kind of wind-up last year.
Yeah.
And then backed off. So we can hope that they will. And by the way, this recent conference in Baghdad is very interesting because it apparently was really convened at the initiative of the Saudis against the will of the Bush administration. So the Saudis seem to be breaking loose of their alliance with the Bush administration, and as a result, they're exercising some moderating pressure on the Americans, which, of course, is an astonishing development, you know, considering who the Saudi government is.
Right.
But it's a very hopeful sign in terms of avoiding this new war.
Let me get a quick question from Ben and Salinas. Just 20 seconds, Ben. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. It seems that what we're doing in Iran there is exactly what Milosevic did up and before they sent him to The Hague. Now, the doctors are saying that the people are coming in, the bodies, with white phosphorus and napalm burns. Can't somebody be sent to The Hague for breaking these kind of treaties that we signed against the treatment of you know, all of those men
use
that
of
they're
chemical
trapping
weapons.
Up in there.
Let me stop you there, Ben. Go ahead, Professor. Just a quick answer.
You know, the white phosphorus especially was used in the Battle of Fallujah, which is the biggest battle of the war so far.
Right.
And they actually published in an Air Force magazine that they use the white phosphorus, and then there's a form of napalm that they...
Got to stop there, Professor. Thanks for talking with us. We'll do it again. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Unhappy? Already? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Still almost 20 months to go in the campaign, and Republicans are already unhappy with their candidates. The latest CBS News poll finds that 57% of Republican voters wish there were more choices, which is crazy because the Republican candidates this year are so diverse they frankly look like Democrats. Actually, I guess that's the problem, isn't it? Well, yes, it is. The concerns are especially high among evangelical voters. 62% of them want more choices. And these are people who waved flip-flops at the 2004 convention to ridicule John Kerry. Now look who they're faced with. John McCain, who supports gay marriage. Rudy Giuliani, who was pro-choice and pro-gun control. And Mitt Romney, who used to be pro-choice. Plus, his hair's just a little too neat, and he was governor of Massachusetts. Even worse is the guy waiting in the wings, Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel, who is thoroughly anti-war. Of course, he announced yesterday that he wasn't running.
I'm here today to announce that my family and I will make a decision on my political future later this year.
Except that he's doing just about everything he'd be doing if he was running.
I will continue to participate in events across this country, raising money for my political action committee to assist Republican candidates.
But that actually may make him the smartest guy in the pack. Not being an official candidate, he's not worth the time of all the Democratic gaffe diggers who are right now collecting as many embarrassing video clips as they can and posting them on YouTube. I know it's tempting to think that all these videos arise spontaneously from an alert populace, but I have a feeling there could be just a little party money behind them. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
From the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Thirty-three minutes after the hour, As usual, next hour is devoted to your phone calls in the free speech zone, 888-5-PETER-B. If you didn't get to talk to Congressman Mike Thompson or you have a reaction to his remarks, bring it on next hour. We'll also talk about the spike in gasoline prices and don't ask, don't tell. Yeah, because gays are immoral. War is not immoral, but gay sex is. Still trying to figure that all out. It's time to talk to Jason Leopold. He is the intrepid investigative reporter at truthout.org and the author of a memoir of a young man called News Junkie. How you doing today, Jason?
Hey, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. We got this beautiful weather, and the only downside is it gets my allergies all amped up. But,
well, here in Southern California, we've been enjoying some 90-degree temps, and it's nice to have the spring back, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I hope it lasts, although I was planning to sneak in a ski trip to Lake Tahoe this weekend, and I don't think there'll be any snow left after the sunburn this week.
Yeah.
Well, Jason,
that is the beach.
I wanted to get your thoughts on what's going to happen later this week. I'm getting a little bit excited at the idea that...
I think this is definitely something people should be excited about. And I believe that, I want to start out by saying that it's my feeling that the reaction to the Valerie Plame testimony that's going to be... that's scheduled for Friday at the Oversight Committee, was really the work of citizens, people, really getting or having been frustrated by the fact that, A, which we talked about last week, the investigation pretty much closing down and having these lingering questions. And I know that there were thousands of emails and phone calls and faxes that were directed toward various officials officials in Congress,
mm-hmm.
By citizens who were really upset. I mean, this was a story that, for the most part, I think that people believed it was just going to, maybe some officials believed it was just going to go away afterward. But it was kept alive, and it had legs after the guilty verdict. And in fact, what was interesting is that we had the Washington Post and the New York Times actually writing stories regarding Cheney's involvement, something that they failed to do during the course of the investigation.
Yeah.
But something that, for one reason or another, they decided to take up after the verdict. So I believe that. That Congress was forced into this, which is a good thing. And while Henry Waxman's office is saying that they want to talk to Plame about how her identity, what the White House did or failed to do to protect her identity, I'm not quite sure what she could ask about that. But I think they don't want to go. They're being cautious in how they're phrasing what they're actually looking at. I think that. Waxman is a bulldog, and he is probably the only member of Congress in the course of almost 6 years now that has really gone after many of these scandals and has actually been successful for the most part in providing the public with documents so they could see what has been going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, they're going to hear from Valerie Plame, and I think the exciting thing about that is that we haven't yet heard from her at all. I mean, we've sort of read some articles and...
I don't even know what her voice sounds like.
Yeah, well, that's it. She made some very brief statements when they had the press conference announcing the civil suit, but I think what they're trying to do, perhaps, is also find out from the CIA what she can and can't say. In terms of her work, what she was doing at the time, I think that this is going to be important in terms of putting to bed, once again, the things that are coming out from the right wing regarding, whether or not she was covert or classified.
She should be able to comment on that.
I believe she should definitely be able to comment on that. I mean, the funny thing, though, is her book, which she has, still... engaged in some legal wrangling with the CIA, part of the reason that she's that they've sort of put the lid on that is that she's not even they said that she's not able to even mention that she ever worked for the CIA, sort of not being able to acknowledge any of her past work at all. More or less, that basically, you know, means that, you know, she didn't exist in a sense.
Well,
so,
you know, I would take a page from the Ali G show.
Right.
And she can just come up with a different term that we all know means CIA.
Right.
If you recall, one of the funniest Ali G episodes was with Pat Buchanan.
Right.
And Buchanan either was duped or played along with him. As Ali G said, well, you know, we had to, the U.S. had to go into Iraq because of the BLT.
The BLT, that was fantastic.
And Buchanan, you know, first looked a little bit puzzled.
Yeah.
And then he just figured that's the language they speak here, so I'll talk about BLTs,
right?
Too.
And he did.
Yeah.
It was great. That would certainly be comical. But I think that, you know, what's going to, you know, what's going to be really interesting is getting Patrick Fitzgerald to go up there.
Well, that was my next question, because we do have a couple of historic things. First of all, because of the change in leadership, we have Henry Waxman conducting this hearing.
Exactly.
Number two, I had to adjust my calendar because I assumed I had kind of just figured it was going to be on Thursday this week, and I was surprised that there's actually a Friday session.
Yeah, seems sort of unlikely, but, you know, Democrats did say that they were working 5 days a week this time around.
So do you know, has anything been worked out for an appearance by Fitzgerald, and if so, under what terms?
Yeah, I could tell you that as of this afternoon, as of about an hour ago, nothing has yet been worked out. What they're still engaged in discussions over is whether he can not just appear before the committee, but actually divulge some information regarding what his investigation has obtained specifically. And when I say, like, what he is able to say, I have to also, you know, throw in here that because he was appointed special counsel and because he works under the sort of authority, I guess you could say, oversight of Gonzales, that's a real big issue here, because even though he was appointed in John Ashcroft's absence by James Comey, who was the deputy,
mm-hmm.
he's no longer there. Alberto Gonzales has the, you know, overall oversight of this. And so in terms of what Fitzgerald can divulge, that's really coming down to you know, what the Justice Department is going to allow him to say, if anything, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's something so peripheral as, you know, did the White House mishandle her identity? You know, even if it's something like that. So really what's happening right now is nobody in the White House obviously wants him to say anything, because there really wouldn't be anything positive for him to say in terms of how the White House treated, you know, Valerie Plame's identity and the fact that they mishandled it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a that's a real issue. But
let me pose this, Jason, because
sure.
I started thinking about this in reaction to a Paul Krugman column last week,
mm-hmm.
when he said, well, you know, take a look at the U.S. attorneys who didn't get fired.
Right.
And he cited the case of Chris Christie, who is the U.S. attorney in New Jersey, which
right.
is where Krugman is based at Princeton.
Yeah.
And he said, this is a guy who was a Bush pioneer. He, you know, is a guy who issued subpoenas 2 months before the election last fall.
Right.
Related to the investigation of Bob Menendez, the appointed Democratic senator who was filling out John Corzine's term and who was up for re-election on his own right last November.
Right.
And there are, I think, serious questions about the ethics of Bob Menendez, just to be fair to all parties here. But it appears that Chris Christie was a loyalist, a responsive U.S. attorney
yeah.
who would not be on Karl Rove's hit list today because he came through
right.
with the appropriate response politically. It appears inappropriate to me, you know, if the timing is the only issue there. But with that said, it starts me thinking, well, who's the U.S. attorney in Chicago?
Right, exactly.
His name is Patrick Fitzgerald.
That's absolutely correct. That's where I was headed towards.
He has not been fired so far.
Right. Well, you know, politically, it would certainly raise numerous red flags. You know, it would almost be political suicide for the White House to do that.
Well, wait a minute, Jason. Wait. I was a Cub talk show host during Nixon's Saturday Night Massacre.
Ah, okay.
And he fired Archibald Cox, who was the special prosecutor, and then Elliot Richardson was asked to, or who had been asked to fire him, declined and resigned. And who did they turn to but a guy named Robert Bork, who did the deed.
Oh, yeah.
And so given the lame duck status of the Bush administration, given that impeachment has been unilaterally taken off the table by Democrats, certainly there would be a momentary firestorm if Bush or Gonzalez sacked Patrick Fitzgerald at this point. But, hey, what if he did the 1-2? We pardon Libby, we fire Fitzgerald.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that point up because, you know, what I would say to that is, well, why isn't Patrick Fitzgerald being fired? You know, I mean, they are firing these other sort of people, these other individuals who are not seen as loyalists. If Patrick Fitzgerald did indict Scooter Libby and won a conviction, why aren't they firing him? Or is there a fear that maybe he would, you know, speak out? I mean, he is bound by grand jury secrecy rules on certain things. But again, I think that, you know, there is. For me, that's the question. It's not you know, whether they will. It's why haven't they?
We're talking with Jason Leopold here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're joined by Don from Hollister. Hello, Don. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Good conversation. Patrick Fitzgerald, if I'm under the understanding, because I'm curious why he hasn't taken this the CIA spy case even further. But now, wasn't Patrick Fitzgerald a U.S. attorney in the New York area during 9/11?
He was a deputy in the 1990s in New York, and as Peter, help me out here, Peter
Lance
has written in his book, he didn't do a very good job of pursuing the perpetrators of the 1993 World Trade Center attack.
That's the one. Okay, yeah.
Triple Cross is the name of Lance's book, if you want to pick it up.
Yeah. Now, do you think he might have had instructions? Because we all know Scooter Libby was the fall guy. Do you think he had instructions not to take the case any further? Or they had to grab one guy just to make it look like they accomplished something. And do you think that was using Scooter Libby as the fall guy, that was enough for them to stop any more looking further into the case?
All right, Jason?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny that you say that because I was actually having a conversation about that, you know, prior to this, to this show, that yes, I do believe that there was interference from the Attorney General's office, and while Patrick Fitzgerald has said publicly that he was unable to really go after the Vice President, he didn't say that specifically, but he certainly did not beat around the bush by saying that he was investigating the Vice President, and because Libby had obstructed justice, he was really unable to, you know, fully ascertain the level of involvement that the Vice President, you know, had in this case. But I do believe that, you know, just based on some, you know, some of the questions that have popped up over the past week, that there was interference. You know, that could just be, you know, rumors, that could just be, you know, people opining about that, but there seems to be a lot of interest in whether or not that happened. And at the very least, you know, what I'm told is that there very well may be a question posed to Patrick Fitzgerald by, you know, some members of the Oversight Committee if he does testify. You know, whether that happened.
Let's take a break, and thank you for the call, Don.
Right,
if you'd like to talk with Jason Leopold, he's with us for one more segment. Dial in right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Good afternoon, everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest. Got a little bit of activity working in, well, Santa Clara County, Highway 152 at Bloomfield. We have an accident reported. This was a bus that had been involved in a crash with another car. Everything off to the right-hand shoulder. No reports of any injuries. We did have some children on board that bus, but that's good news. No injuries there. CHP remains on scene. Santa Cruz, southbound 17 before Pasa Tiempo. The entrance there, we have an accident report there. No details at this point, but we can tell you that CHP is in fact on the way to the scene. And Santa Cruz Highway 1 southbound, the Morrissey Boulevard on-ramp, on and off-ramp, shut down until May 1st. This report brought to you by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get your Blue Blocker Sunglasses at Walgreens. Get full UV protection while you see clearer and sharper. Blue Blocker, America's favorite for over 20 years. Pick up your Blue Blocker at Walgreens today.
Yeah, Fitz, let's do it. Let's roll up to the hill and tell Waxman what's really going on. What do you say, dude, huh? What do you say? I got my Escalade. I'll give you a ride. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 9 minutes away from the hour as we continue with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. We're talking about Friday's planned hearing before Congressman Henry Waxman's committee. And we know that Valerie Plame Wilson will be there. Not sure how much she can actually say in public and under oath or otherwise. And it appears that Patrick Fitzgerald has not yet agreed to go up to the Hill. And, Jason, during the break there, I was looking at my favorite news and commentary site, truthout.org.
Yeah.
Lead story up right now, Gonzalez again called upon to resign.
Yeah, he's under incredible pressure. Will that happen? Absolutely not. I think it, you know, you talk about fall guys. There are, I think it was his chief of staff, if I'm not mistaken, who resigned.
That's Sampson. Kyle Sampson has resigned.
Yeah,
and he's the guy who was in charge of reviewing the work of the U.S. attorneys.
Right.
He's the one who was emailing back and forth with Harriet Myers on her way to church.
Right.
as she said, well, why don't we just fire all 93 of them? And that was an idea that even Rove thought was too extreme.
And I think that, again, you know, this is someone, his chief of staff is, you know, taking the fall. I mean, you know, Alberto Gonzalez is not only, you know, obviously coming into his role as being as Bush's personal attorney, he has his hands on everything and has had his hands on everything. And to suggest that he's not, you know, complicit in this in terms of, giving orders is just ridiculous. One thing I did want to mention, though, with regards to Waxman, if we can just circle back to that for a moment,
sure.
is that a couple of days after he put out the his office put out the statement saying that they were going to have these hearings, he went a step further, and I think that this was actually maybe yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, that he also has written another letter to Condoleezza Rice, once again calling on her to provide his committee with information as to how the Niger intelligence, which we know is bogus, ended up in the State of the Union address. And he has said in his letter that he has written to her on numerous occasions. She has disregarded 11 different letters that he wrote when he was in the minority and writing to her, wanting to, really find out what happened here. And that, as you know, relates directly to the Valerie Plame leak, because that's what Joe Wilson had published his column on, saying that the White House was twisting intelligence when it cited this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we're getting to, what we're starting to see here is that not only is his office or his committee starting to look at the issues surrounding the leak of Valerie Plame, but also the bigger issue, which is the pre-war intelligence, but specifically the Niger intelligence, because that's something that we really haven't been able to wrap our arms around as of yet, because it relates to Italy, it relates to forged documents, it relates to a break-in.
And Jason, just an interesting note about that. I like the Bill Maher show on HBO. And last Friday, who did he have? He had Dana Priest from the or one of the Danas from the Washington Post.
Right.
And what was really interesting is the most outspoken person was Roseanne Barr. And I never looked to her for political commentary whatsoever. But she was there, and she kept returning the conversation to not just the forged documents and the phony intelligence about Niger and Yellow Cake, but that it was the casus belli. Now, she didn't use that term because it's not in her vocabulary.
Right.
But she said, that's why we went to war. And I give her a lot of credit, and I'm not putting her down. I've never been a big fan of hers, never watched her daytime chat show.
Right.
But, gosh, if she is so clear...
Well, she's definitely well-informed.
On what really happened.
Because most people do not have any, idea about, certainly about the genesis of it, but, in terms of how far back it goes. But
let's grab a call here from somebody who's as well-informed as Roseanne, but could sing the national anthem much better. It's Peter V. in Salinas. Hi, Peter.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Jason.
Yes.
It seems that you're looking for answers. Is that correct?
Always.
Well, it would appear to me that if you had the same tools that the White House approved for their interviews, you'd have the answers we all want.
Yeah.
So, Jason, on that note, all together now, waterboard Carl Rove now.
Yeah, that would, in fact, if I had the tools of the FBI, I could just, violate everything
You could data mine his phone records, tap his phone, read his email, all kinds of things.
Now we're getting somewhere, Jason. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
All right, and Peter, I understand where you're going with that, and I just imagine that there is a suite with Alberto Gonzalez's name on it, an ocean view suite at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Wouldn't that be poetic justice? But, again, I think that... Look, if you look at just the past month, wow, talk about scandal. I mean, there is no sign of any scandal slowing down.
Yeah.
They just keep coming. And
Jason, we got less than a minute. You know more than I do. What do you want to share?
Well, again, I think that, people should really start taking a look at the Oversight Committee on Friday and, think about the fact that there may have been... pressure by Alberto Gonzalez, Fitzgerald.
Yeah. Well, we'll watch that very carefully, and that's Gonzalez on your call waiting there. So
I think it is, actually.
You better take that call. Thank you,
right,
Jason.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. That's Jason Leopold, truthout.org, and his recent memoir is called News Junkie. It's a great read. Pick it up. All right, we're going to take a break here for the top of the hour news and return to your phone calls in the free speech zone. If you didn't get to talk to Mike Thompson and you have a reaction, let me hear it. You want to talk about the spike in gas prices, about Patrick Fitzgerald testifying before the Waxman subcommittee? Well, I want to hear from you. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill, with help from Brian Urban.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Yes, says White House Communications Director Dan Bartlett, there was discussion with the Justice Department about firing federal prosecutors around the country, and the president passed on complaints about some of them to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, but, insists Bartlett,
there was no directive given as far as telling him to fire anybody or anything like that. That would be under the prerogative of the Justice Department.
This is Bob Orr at the Justice Department, where Attorney General Gonzalez is denying that he teamed up with the White House to politically sack 8 U.S. attorneys.
I acknowledge that mistakes were made here. I accept that responsibility.
Gonzalez insists 7 were fired for poor performance. The 8th, Bud Cummins, who prosecuted FEMA fraud cases after Hurricane Katrina, was clearly pushed out to make room for a crony, a presidential advisor, Karl Rove. All 93 U.S. attorneys who serve in every state and territory are political appointees, but they're supposed to operate beyond the reach of politics.
It's become very political now.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. A chorus of Senate Democrats are calling for Attorney General Gonzalez to step down. Senator Edward Kennedy says his resignation is long overdue, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says Gonzalez is clearly in over his head. But they aren't the only ones upset about all this. Many Republicans in Congress also complain they were misled about the firings of these U.S. attorneys.
The Attorney General's Chief of Staff, Kyle Sampson, has resigned. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Peter Pace, says he should have focused less on his personal views. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has that.
In an interview with the Chicago Tribune, General Pace got himself in trouble by expressing his personal views about allowing gays to serve openly in the military.
We, by policy, would be condoning what I believe is immoral activity.
That attracted the wrath of a gay advocacy group, which called his remarks outrageous, insensitive, and disrespectful. Pace later issued a written statement saying he should have stressed that he supports the policy now in effect, which does not make a judgment about the morality of individual acts. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Today the Dow suffered its second biggest drop in almost 4 years, falling 242 points. The big factor, says market analyst Eugene Peroni, was a report that mortgage delinquencies are up.
With the subprime news in the headlines, this is making investors even more nervous. So investors are entertaining a more defensive posture.
Some so-called subprime lenders have gone under as customers with shaky credit histories fail to make their mortgage payments. The Dow closed at 12,075. The Nasdaq finished 51 points lower at 2350. But there was good news on energy. The price of crude oil fell below $58 a barrel. Court TV is adjourned. Turner Broadcasting says the cable channel will be renamed this summer to reflect more action-driven programming. This is CBS News.
When you have a family, it's always a good time to buy.
It's a great move-up market.
The interest rates are low.
It didn't make sense for us to spend the same amount of money renting something when we could own it.
Working with a realtor took all the guesswork out.
This is the best market in years in terms of choice.
Interest rates are at historic lows. Home choices have increased, and prices are favorable. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
If we didn't buy now, we would have missed the opportunity on this home.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Wouldn't it feel great if just once someone said to you, hey, you know what I noticed? You're a really good driver. But no one does. They take your impressive skills for granted. Well, Progressive will tell you. They're willing to say, yes, you are a good driver, and we're giving you a special rate, a special lower rate. You could save over $400 when you switch, just for being a good driver.
Good driver savings from Progressive. Switch today at Progressive.com. Progressive. It's about you, and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available everywhere but Massachusetts. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To cut down on smoking, keep busy. CBS News correspondent Harley Carnes explains.
Have you ever noticed how after a workout at the gym, after a bike ride, or just hoeing the garden, you don't want a cigarette? Scientists noticed as little as 5 minutes of exercise provides a short-term break from craving cigarettes. Even isometrics, tensing and relaxing muscle groups helps. And if you're trying to quit, exercise reduces withdrawal symptoms. Dr. Adrian Taylor at England's University of Exeter says if a drug did that, you'd have a big seller. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
After Hurricane Rita hit Beaumont, Texas, people wondered what became of the neighborhood recluse they called Mr. Larry, but they were preoccupied rebuilding their own lives. One neighbor says we decided he'd evacuated and didn't have a chance to come back. But 16 months later, someone interested in buying Larry Uglon's house went inside and found his mummified remains in his bed. Authorities say Uglon died of natural causes before or during the storm. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, Dave. Larry here. Hey, next Tuesday, one wheel from every pallet truck is going to fall off. Strangest thing. It'll basically grind the floor to a halt. How about that? Just wanted you to be prepared. Bye.
In your job, you don't get warnings, so Granger's just added a massive amount of material handling products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. From casters and wheels to carts, trucks, and conveyors, we have what you need to move, handle, and store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality, professional-looking documents. Our design print and ship depot can print almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone today. My lines are open to hear from you. You know the rules, any subject, any viewpoint, and you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We pick up the long-distance charge. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. There's a lot to talk about. Alberto Gonzalez, Patrick Fitzgerald in the U.S. Justice Department about the war in Iraq, and Congressman Mike Thompson's comments on the program earlier today. I got one caller already we're going to go to in just a second to talk about that. We heard Professor Michael Schwartz from the Stony Brook University talk about his article, a commentary piece called Surge and Destroy. So there's a lot of fodder for you to join in this conversation, and I welcome your calls at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I've got some topics I want to introduce here for you to call in and talk about, but I really feel bad when people spend too long on hold. And it's kind of the flip side of my rejection, you know, when people call up and say, thank you for taking my call. I don't like to hear that. I like to thank you for taking the time and trouble to call the program. And Carol from Blue Lake was on hold for about 20 minutes. And then we said, well, call back here at the beginning of the Free Speech Zone. So, Carol, thank you for your dedication to the program. Tell me what's on your mind.
You know, Peter B., I met you in Blue Lake when you came to the Blue Lake Del Arte. I was a raging granny that sang.
I remember. I sure
I
do.
Want you to know how much I appreciate your show, number one, and the chance to for me to spout off, which I'm so angry. For one thing, I really echo Alice's comments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if the resolution can get passed. Put it out there. Demand it. Keep on doing it. So the people that voted for you will know that you're really working for the constituents that want you to end this war, number
mm-hmm.
one. And number two, I thought it was really weak of Mr. Thompson to say he didn't know if there were enough funds already in the budget to bring the troops home. And I think, you know what? Why don't you contact Representative Kucinich, who I believe is in your party?
Yeah.
And you could get the facts from him if you don't know them. How weak that was. I'm just disappointed in him all the way around.
And let me just interject that during the conversation, I got an email from Susan in Santa Cruz saying, bring up Kucinich. And it came in just at the time I started to mention it. So our minds may not be that great, but we are thinking alike at disparate locations. Now, help me out a little bit, Carol, because I don't have a lot of deep background on Mike Thompson. And his position as someone who voted against the authorization to use military force in October 2002 surprised me for a blue dog Democrat as he is.
Mm-hmm.
And his arguments, I felt today, were coming across to me as overly on the offense because he feels defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, those of you, and you may be one of the people who spent time in his office over the last couple of months exhibiting the passion that he admired, if you remember his comments about that,
right.
I feel there's some disconnect, and I wonder if you can help me. Why are constituents like you suspicious of Mike Thompson when he at least presents himself as dedicated to getting the troops home and trying to achieve it through the art of the possible, not necessarily taking a position that would be as strong as you and I would hope?
I guess it's because I'm not a politician and I expect him to act like a human being. So that's probably not the most sophisticated answer, but I've met Mr. Thompson personally, and it's because of my desire for there not to be any more wars, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was asking him in like a townhouse meeting shortly after the election that now that we had enough votes in the House of Representatives could return habeas corpus over. And he said, just because we've won doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want. And I thought that was so patronizing. It's like, what do you mean everything we want? We're human beings. We come into this earth with human rights available to us, should be available to us, human rights, civil rights, just because we're human beings and living on this planet. Why do we have to ask you to give us what is our right? What's our right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about that. I'm not a very sophisticated person, so I can't give you the best answer.
Well, don't be self-critical here.
Okay.
I'm very interested in your comments, and I don't find them to be unsophisticated at all. And you're fully entitled to your view and to express that to your elected representative. So I have nothing but praise for your position and what you have to say. What I'm trying to do, I'll just be real blunt about this,
mm-hmm.
you know, I believe, as I told Mike Thompson, that you can't negotiate with these people, and I'm referring to the Bush administration,
right.
and that ultimately the Congress will have to take the action that it is currently trying to avoid,
mm-hmm.
which is to explicitly cut off funds for the war.
Mm-hmm.
Then he tried to say that I was using circular logic because
right.
I acknowledged that we don't have the votes in the Senate. But the House could unilaterally
right.
refuse to pass this current supplemental $100
right.
billion tab for Iraq. They could authorize 50. They could authorize, you know, any number below 100 as a way of sending a message that you've got to deal with the Congress.
That's right.
He didn't hear that.
Well, he didn't want to hear it, I think. I mean, he has to know. And also, I noticed that you made a comment that we don't have the ground troops for Iran, but I thought they were trying to do airstrikes in Iran so they wouldn't have to use ground troops, and that's why they have those carriers there.
Well, we're speculating here because, again, the super-secret Bush administration doesn't believe the American people need to know what their intentions are.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the arguments that is used by people like Thompson, and I've heard it from many others, is that we simply, in practical terms, don't have the resources to launch a ground invasion of Iran. And I hear that. At the same time, I have been burned by trying to apply rational mm-hmm. thinking to the actions of this administration.
Right. Then
secondly, mm-hmm. It's possible that Bush would launch the airstrikes and missile strikes that are quite possible without a commitment of U.S. ground troops to Iran. But then that begs the question of the lessons learned from the 34-day war between Israel and Hezbollah over Lebanon last summer. And that is that air power alone will not permit you to prevail, will not permit you to destroy the facilities that Bush seems intent on taking out. And furthermore, we can bomb from the air and we can then do satellite recon, but given that many of these facilities are hardened and well underground, we will not know whether the first, second, third rounds of strikes had the desired effect, and there is the huge potential for what they call collateral damage and what I call dead civilians.
Absolutely. What's going to happen to all that nuclear activity when they hit those nuclear plants or anything? I mean, it's radioactive. I mean,
well, there isn't that much there. They've produced some, enriched uranium, but it's not enriched, at least from what we can tell.
Okay.
It's not enriched to a point where they could make a weapon or where they have anything that would produce significant fallout. Now, there's one other part to this, Carol, and that is that the Bush administration has had a semi-public set of arguments with the Air Force generals at the Pentagon about whether to use a nuclear weapon on Iran's nuclear facilities to prevent them from developing a nuclear weapon.
No.
Now, not only is that highly hypocritical, but to use a nuclear weapon in that part of the world in an unprovoked situation, as we would expect it to be if it occurred today, is unconscionable. And the fallout on even our own troops in neighboring Iraq could be significant. So it's misguided, it's irrational, and yet I consider it highly possible.
Well, because, you and I feel, well, I don't know. You know, I wouldn't want to, I don't know how these people sleep at night, to tell the truth. And when they talk about, that Iran shouldn't have nuclear weapons, when the United States has such a stockpile of nuclear weapons, and we go around the world telling other nation states if they can acquire them or not, and no one talks about the fact that we have all these weapons and that we haven't even signed that,
Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Right.
Well, and we also, we covered it on the program last week. There's a new contract to the Lawrence Livermore Lab to develop the next generation of nuclear weapons.
Like, we need those.
And doesn't that send a real positive message to the rest of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Carol, thanks a lot for your comments today, and thanks for all the time you spent on hold.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, I appreciate it. 888-5, Peter B., you're welcome to call the program the rest of this hour. It's your show, The Free Speech Zone, and lines are available. 888-573-8372. On the other side of this break, we've got a soundbite from General Peter Pace. He says it would be immoral to let gays serve openly in the military. We'll talk about that. And if your gas prices have spiked 17 cents, you want to bitch about it, you can call in and complain. I'll listen to you. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. If you prefer, drop me an email. peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly. Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie's Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie's Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie's Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the latest. And let's look at Santa Clara County Highway 152 at Bloomfield. We do have a crash there. It's been clear. That's good news. Everything off to the right shoulder was a school bus. And we had word there was kids on board. Good news. No injuries, but CHP remains on scene. They're going to wrap everything up there. Let's look at Monterey because we do have a problem northbound one between. Looks like before Casa Verde. And it's a two-vehicle crash. And everything in the center divide there. Also want to mention Gonzalez. Dallas northbound 101 before 5th. Heads up for a tire. The tire is in the right lane. This report brought to you by Hotels.com. Get spring break savings of up to 20% with the rate starting at just $39. When you book by April 2nd, call 800-3-HOTELS or see offer for details. Hotels.com. We know hotels inside and out. That's traffic on KRXA.
You're cruising home in style with the Peter B. Collins Show. Thank you for punching the radio and this spot on the dial. We're in the free speech zone taking your calls. There are lines available if you'd like to share a comment. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. That's our toll-free number, and I'd love to hear from you today. First-time callers are always welcome. And if you're listening online in Phoenix or some other location in this far-flung nation, feel free to check in. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. Well, this is an interesting world we live in now because almost anything that gets reported has a video or audio clip. Notably, in the last 24 hours, Rudy Giuliani is being forced to face the truth of his own past and his own past statements in favor of abortion rights, not only abortion rights in general, but that taxpayers should pay for the abortions of poor women. And those won't sit well with the Republicans he's hoping to court in his quest for the presidency. Likewise, General Peter Pace gave an interview to the Chicago Tribune, and it wasn't just an old, ink-stained reporter jotting notes down on a pad. There's a recording. And the quality of this is not perfect, but you're going to be able to hear the general's comments about the don't ask, don't tell policy. and how he frames it as a matter of morality. Let's listen.
My upbringing is such that I believe that there are certain things, certain types of conduct that are immoral. I believe that military members who sleep with other military members' wives are immoral in their conduct.
Now, what if they sleep with somebody else's wife who's not in the military? Oh, never mind.
In that we should not tolerate that. I believe that homosexual acts between individuals are immoral, and that we should not condone immoral acts.
Which sounds a lot like blatant homophobia to me.
Now, I don't know about you, but Bill Clinton is often remembered and revered as a great liberal-slash-progressive president. But the first fumble-stumble that he made when he entered office was a doozy that we continue to live with. And that was his effort to permit gays to serve openly in the military. That was the right instinct of a new president. But he allowed himself to be steamrolled by Democrats and Republicans. Now, at that time, Democrats had a narrow control, if I remember correctly, of the United States Senate, and Democrat Sam Nunn of Georgia was head of the Armed Services Committee. And about 10 minutes after Bill Clinton was inaugurated and announced his plan to allow gays to serve in the military without sanction, Sam Nunn came down on him like 8 tons of bricks. Or like, you know, that tons of cash that they shipped to Baghdad. And Clinton, deeply embarrassed, came up with a straddle, a compromise that really leaves no one satisfied. And that is the don't ask, don't tell policy. It's ridiculous. It's bogus. And it has led to the dismissal from the service of thousands of otherwise qualified, capable, and very patriotic Americans. And why General Pace would bring up an issue like that at this time is beyond me. And General, if you want to apply morality to sexual behavior, let me ask you this. Why not apply it to bigger issues? Oh, like Lieutenant Aaron Watata, who has taken a strong moral position saying, I cannot serve in Iraq because I believe that this is an immoral war. Isn't that more important than private sexual behavior? I think so, General. And he has apologized for his comments, but he still stands by his position. We go to Edie in Atlanta. Hello, Edie. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter B. I'm so glad we can still find you.
Well, I'm glad you found me, and you keep on finding me.
Thanks. I just, when I heard this on the News Hour, this Peter Pace quote,
mm-hmm.
Oh, God. That's why I've called, because I'm so pissed off about it, because it's just disgusting. And, you know, you find out who your real friends are when you have to move. And when last year my daughter and I had to move, my apartment was full of people from, you know, race, gender, transgender, gay. Those are the folks that helped us move. And so we know that he's full of it, that all these nut jobs are. I wish I could to convey my feelings more articulately, but I'm just too mad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about anybody else, but my ethics and morality do not lie between my thighs. You know, but they're in my head and my heart.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say, and thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for the call. I really appreciate that, Edie. Next, we go to Frank and Marina. Frank, thanks for calling the PBC show. You're on the air.
You've been out a while. Peter.
Yes, sir.
I agree with that woman that just called in Atlanta. You know, they talk about morality. He sits there every day with his costume, uniform, and but killing and torturing in Iraq or anywhere else, extraordinary, that's okay. But two people that are in love with each other, that's taboo.
Well, and the people, Frank, particularly the people who studied at the Language Institute in Monterey, over 60 individuals who speak Arabic have been forced to exit the service because of their sexual orientation. Now, I'm sorry, I'm much more interested in understanding what's going on in that part of the world, in protecting our troops by having translators there who can understand, you know, who says he's a Shia and who says he's a Sunni. And to make these decisions on these priorities is just fundamentally wrong and immoral on the face of it.
He's playing to the Christian evangelicals. That's what it is. And more of them are going into the military. You know, they keep lowering the standards. You probably saw 60 Minutes Sunday night, but
yeah.
We knew about this anyway. A few comments, Peter.
I got room for one more, Frank.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What the heck is wrong with these Democrats? In November last year, after the elections, I called you and so many other callers around the country. I said I was a little hesitant about the Democrats because too many of them collaborate with these Republicans. Especially our two senators here in California.
Yeah. Frank, I got to go to the break. Thanks for your call today. More up next in the Free Speech Zone. Give me a call.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
We're in the free speech zone, and there's a line open for you. No, not her and not him. For you, my friend. 888-5-PETER-B. You dial toll-free 1-888-573-8372. And in particular, listeners to KGOE 1480 in Eureka, I want to hear your reaction to the comments from Mike Thompson just a couple of hours ago. That's right, your free speech rights are still in full effect. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. Harvey and Eureka, thanks for holding. You're next on the air.
Yeah, well, I'm one of those people you were asking to call in. Mike Thompson is my representative.
Right.
So, I was very disappointed. When you asked him about what Kucinich had said, that there was enough money in the pipeline to wind up this whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked him about it, and he said he didn't know.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. What are we paying him for? I mean, he's back there. He's supposed to know what's going on. If he can't do any better than that, why, we could get somebody else to go back there.
It was also, Harvey, surprising to me that I asked him to compare his bill with the Woolsey bill. And Lynn Woolsey, Barbara Lee, and Maxine Waters have crafted a piece of legislation that I fully support. And it doesn't, like in blaring 18-point type, say we're cutting off the funds, but that's what it does. And it asserts the appropriate role of Congress in decision-making about war and ending a war. And, the idea that he didn't know the specifics of that bill, well, that kind of troubles me, because for him to craft his own piece of legislation without knowing the elements of the other stuff that's out there doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yes, and he's supposed to be a champion of this movement to get out of this war, and I mean it's like it's his focus, and for him not to know what's in the Woolsey bill, it just sounds like he's not doing his homework. And another thing I was thinking of, and he said, well, we don't have the votes for this and that. And I was thinking, when Johnson, President Johnson, tried to get the voting rights bill passed, he didn't have the votes, but he went out and got the votes. He went out there really and aggressively rounded up people and got the bill through. And I think that that this Thompson ought to get out there and do some legwork and get some votes on his side.
Well, and Harvey, time will tell, and perhaps I'll learn more about Mike Thompson. But my current impression is that he doesn't represent the worst of our troubles. because at least, you know, he's on a similar page, if not the same page, that he voted against the war, he wants to get U.S. troops out. I take him at face value on that. But we do have conservative Democrats in the party who are still intimidated by Republicans. They seem to have forgotten that they're now in charge. And they are operating from a position of fear. They're afraid they're going to be tagged with cut and run. They're afraid they're going to be tagged as what's the bleed line, bleed and leave. And so they're not representing their constituents properly, and they are not operating from principle or strength.
Well, and the thing is that they act like it's a game of some kind, but people are dying over there. This is, you know, we're trying to save lives. This isn't just some kind of an entertaining proposition. It's something where we really got to put our hearts and souls into it and bring about an end to this this bloodshed over there.
Yeah. Now, you know, I understand, and I want to be really clear that I am one of those people who fundamentally believes that we have to take the ultimate step of cutting off the funds and confronting the Republicans and their hateful talk. I'm going to talk about Dick Cheney's latest ravings in a moment. But the Democrats have to be strong enough to stand up, face that, and survive it.
Yeah, and we don't want any more timetables. They've been talking about timetables. I think we should withdraw forthwith. We should, as we would in any battlefield where we had lost, we would retreat. We would beat an orderly retreat, and we need no timetable. We need to just get out as soon as we can possibly do it.
All right, Harvey. Thank you for your call today.
Okay. Bye.
Great to have you listening. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join the mix here. Can talk about Mike Thompson or anything else we've been discussing or something we haven't. That's how it works on this show. It's why we call it the Free Speech Zone. Well, yesterday, Dick Cheney went in front of another not-so-hostile audience, AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. They're the ones who exert the influence on members of Congress of both parties to toe the line on our policies toward Israel. And in case you're not clear on my position, I believe that the U.S. should support Israel's right to exist and to secure its borders. I don't support the extremes of the Israeli government when it runs roughshod over the rights of its neighbors and maintains an illegal occupation of neighboring territory. That's where I draw the line. So to this not-so-unfriendly audience, Cheney went yesterday, and he repeated statements that have been proven flatly false already. Quote, as we get farther away from 9/11, I believe there's a temptation to forget the urgency of the task that came to us that day and the comprehensive approach that's required to protect this country against an enemy that moves and acts on multiple fronts. Iraq's relevance to the war on terror simply could not be more plain, Cheney said. He said Al-Qaeda terrorists have made Iraq the central front in the U.S. war on terrorism. Damn it, Cheney, you are so full of it, and you know it. You made Iraq the central front. You brought Al-Qaeda to Iraq. They weren't there when we invaded 4 years ago this week. And you know the fatuousness, the downright dishonesty of what you're saying. And it's been established over and over again, hundreds of pages of reports. I mean, there was a 148-page report released by the Republican-led Senate Intelligence Committee last September that showed there was no intelligence to support the claim of a link between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda. And the fact that we created a vacuum there with loose borders and a magnet to take on the United States, that doesn't mean that you were justified to do what you did or that there's any rational explanation that would connect Iraq and Al-Qaeda. And again, Mr. Cheney, you know it, and you know better. Jake in Arcata, thanks for calling, and I'm glad you got to talk to Mike Thompson earlier today. Did you find that a satisfying exchange?
Well, no, I can't exactly say I found it to be satisfying, but I found it to be very illuminating. And I do appreciate, Peter, that you have him on the show. I hope he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
But just like most of your other callers, I got to tell you, I'm very dissatisfied with what he had to say. I mean, here this congressman is, and he's been in office since he was elected in 1998. He is a conservative, Blue Dog Democrat. In fact, he's one of the founders of the Blue Dog Caucus. And, you know, I have nothing personal against Mike Thompson. He seems to be a pretty good guy overall. But he's not a good fit for the north coast of California. If he were down in the Central Valley, he'd be a perfect fit for that congressional district. But up here, this is one of the most progressive areas of the country. And frankly, Thompson is far more conservative than most of his Democratic constituents, especially on this issue of the war. I mean, all I heard was one excuse after another why he can't get anything done. You know, Mike Thompson has been very effective at moving up in the leadership ranks of the Democratic Party. But unfortunately, the Democratic Party has a problem, as we've discussed before, Peter. It seems like the people who rise to the leadership positions in the Democratic Party are the same individuals who lack conviction, who lack the political courage to actually make things happen. And look what happened. The public is clear. They want us out of Iraq. They want Bush and Cheney held accountable for what they've done to this country and to others. But all the Democrats can do is a non-binding resolution. All they can do is say impeachment's off the table. I'm sorry, but this is not acceptable. And Peter, you know, as you know, I'm a Democrat who has run for office before. In fact, it was Ed from Aptos who got me to run for the Central Committee last year.
Yes, it was.
And you know, I'm really thinking that I'm going to have to consider this, because if no one else gets in the race to run against Mike Thompson for Congress in the primary next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it. And for those who don't know, my name is Jake Pickering. Yeah, I am a social worker here in Humboldt County. And for those who listen to Stephanie Miller, you know, of course, Peter B. Collins, Mike Molloy, Tom Hartman, Ray Tyler Farrow, you've probably heard me quite a bit on the radio.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm going to get out there and make it happen if I can. I'm going to stand up against the Bush-Cheney administration. I've been calling for impeachment for years. I've been calling for an end to this illegal war for years. And why Mike Thompson is unable to do that, he's not able to answer that question, obviously, Peter.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, Jake, I applaud you for that, and we'll remember, okay?
All right, well, I'm thinking about it, because clearly his leadership skills are lacking, and I'm not saying Mike Thompson's a bad guy. I'm just saying he doesn't appear to be a man for our times. We need people, Democrats, who will stand up against Bush and Cheney and not just give us excuses why they're unable to.
Well, and, you know, you don't have to find somebody utterly contemptible to challenge them for political office. I believe, you know, you've just articulated your differences with Mike Thompson, and for you to lay those out to voters and give people a choice, that's what we call democracy.
Yeah, I'm all for it. And unfortunately, a lot of Democrats up here, they try to rig the process so that there's no primary challenger. For years now, Democrats have been running for higher office from our district unopposed, and that has to come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, my name is Jake Pickering, and I'm seriously considering running against Mike Thompson for Congress.
Did you approve this message?
Yes, I did.
All right, Jake, here's my promise to you. When you form a committee to run for the first congressional district seat, I would like to be your first contributor of $100 American.
Well, thank you, Peter.
So,
you've done more for me than I can imagine, and I really appreciate the fact that you give all of us a forum to speak our minds.
All right, Jake. You go do it. Work on organizing the grassroots, and I'd love to see you make that run.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
Okay, you take care. Chris and Salinas, thanks for your call. You're next.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
I'm okay.
Hey, there's one thing, too, about this Mike Thompson guy is that, you know, start calling and writing letters and get light a fire under his butt, you know?
Well, just to let you know, our activist friends in Humboldt County have been keeping his buns extremely warm.
Well, that's
they've
a good
been,
thing.
They've been in his office, and just to, this is not, it's not out of school for me to tell you this. When his press assistant called last week to confirm the interview, she said, "Why don't you go ahead and announce it, and maybe those people will stop calling our office all day long."
There's one thing I did want to talk about, and that was I always hear the Democrats say, "Well, we don't have the votes." And I am sick of that. What we need to do is we need to have the votes counted and hold those who vote no or yes or whatever on the issues and have them held accountable on those, you know, and on record.
Well, so you're touching on something, Chris. This has bugged me for a long time, particularly when the Democrats were in the minority. They were not willing to stand up, fight for something, and lose. And
right.
When you do that, you force people to make choices, and you strengthen your hand for a later day. And I agree. I would rather see them fight, push these resolutions, you know, as far as they can. And when you lose, you dust yourself off, get back up again, and start over.
Yeah. Thank then when they were campaigning, you say, "Hey, guess what? He voted no on Bill such and such, and she voted no on Bill such and such." You want that person running for office? No.
Yeah.
So we can attack them when the time comes. And
Chris,
I gotta
run to a break. Thanks
right.
for your call.
Bye.
888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join us in the free speech zone, more in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
We want to welcome Assemblywoman Ana Caballero back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you very much for the invitation.
We are so glad to have you on. We were at the victory party for you, and you were so happy, and I rightfully so.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, right up until you asked me to leave the party. You and Lucy, that was it.
Well, it was the dancing on the table that got you. The TV cameras were there. It just didn't look right.
So. I got you.
The show on KRXA 540 AM.
Tom Hartman.
As a country, we should have a national trade policy. And that trade policy should, at its core, at the very least, say that, by and large, we want to make sure that if we are buying $1 trillion worth of stuff from the rest of the world, that we are selling $1 trillion worth of stuff to the rest of the world.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Because otherwise, we end up a banana republic.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon, on KRXA 540.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the latest. And let's start off with a problem. Well, it's in Monterey, northbound 1 before Casa Verde Way. It is a two-vehicle crash still being reported in the center divide, CHP, in fact, on scene. Also want to mention another problem. It's in Soquel, Walnut Street at Bendis Avenue. It's a two-vehicle crash reportedly blocking lanes. And CHP, in fact, there as well. And traffic a little bit slow in the area, according to reports here. Also want to mention that we do have some road work, and this is in Santa Cruz, northbound 1, the on-ramp to Emma Line, off-ramp closed, 24 hours a day for road work, scheduled to continue through the 31st of December. And this report brought to you by Alaska Airlines. No matter where you're waiting, make AlaskaAir.com your first stop. It's where you'll always find Alaska's lowest fares.
Peter B. Collins Show.
Did you ever have to make up your mind to pick up on one and leave the other behind? It's not often easy, not often kind. Did you ever have to make up your mind? Did you ever have to finally decide and say yes to one and let the other one ride? There's so many changes and tears you must hide.
Did you ever have to make up your mind? I will play that one for Congressman Mike Thompson today. Mary Ann in Arcata, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, hello, Peter B. Good to talk to you again.
And so it seems like I just have more of the same. You know, the first person that called Congressman Thompson, and he talked about the $3 trillion that were unaccounted for, I guess, in the military accounting, and how we all owe $20,000. And although he didn't really mention a question, but the congressman just went on and on about what he had done so far in his office, and he never said anything. Well, you know, okay, yeah, we're going to have an investigation about. He never said anything about that.
No, he actually kind of spun the issue and just talked about his own efforts as a fiscal conservative.
Right, yeah. But otherwise, usually I've called his office here in Eureka on occasions, and they're always very helpful, and they seem to know what they're talking about. I called this week, I guess, about those Niger forgeries.
Right.
And so he was very, the guy in there, he knew about that. And then he said, honestly, so what do you want Mr. Thompson to do? And I said, well, isn't this ground to look into for impeachment? And so they've always been very helpful here, more so than when I call offices in Washington, D.C., the Congress people's offices. They very seldom know what their boss thinks or what, you know, they just take down what you say, and that's it. So.
Yeah, usually they're very junior, often intern type people, and they just listen to you, and sometimes they'll jot down quotes from what you say, but more often they're just keeping a little tally for and against on any given issue. And at the end of a day or end of a week, they give the tally to the congressperson and say, well, that's what the phone calls were about this week.
Yeah. So one really never knows what happened, if it did any good, if one called. But anyway, that's democracy, I guess.
And so, Marianne, what's your bottom line about Mike Thompson? Is he good but not great, or do you feel that he's kind of dishonest with his constituents?
Well, yeah, I think he's very timid about what he could do over there. I mean, after all, to be a congressman or a senator, it should carry some clout, and don't they ever talk to each other? Sometimes when I call senators' offices there, Democrats, I said, don't you ever speak to Senator Reid about this? That's meaning the senator I call. You know, don't they ever speak to him? Don't they ever get together over coffee and talk? And, I mean, like he said today, Thompson, oh, there aren't the votes. Well, isn't that what they do after hours?
Well, I understand. I understand it up to a point, but I think it's fair to tell constituents who are angry or at least concerned that things aren't happening fast enough to explain the mechanics. And I understand that as of today, they don't have enough votes. Mm-hmm. They need to go get those votes. They need to offer the leadership and confront the wrong-headed Republicans at every step and say, no, no, no. And as we pointed out, the Democrats in the House, because they do have the majority there, can make a unilateral move. It wouldn't be pretty, and it would certainly cause some problems and perhaps some confusion. But the Democrats can refuse to vote out this $100 billion supplemental for Iraq. Mm. They can do it for a variety of reasons. They could offer him a payment plan. You know, we'll give you $30 billion over the next quarter.
Also, how much of that goes to Halliburton? And they could give up some of their profits.
Well, let's not get distracted by that. My point is that the Democrats in the House do have power. Mm-hmm. They can stop this authorization from going forward and leave the Senate with nothing to conference on. Mm. And that is the power that they have. They choose not to use it so far.
Yeah.
And that's where, if we keep calling and we keep pressuring, it might change. That's what we have to hope for. Thank you for your call, Marianne. Yeah. I appreciate it. Now to Stephen and Salinas. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon. I get mad every time I hear some of these Democrats. I just keep getting madder and madder. I used to teach fourth and fifth grade, and one of the first things I told my students was, a person who says something to me that I don't like, it doesn't bother me if I have no respect for that person. Bush and Cheney could say anything they wanted to me, and it wouldn't bother me a bit because I have no respect for them. And I don't understand why the Democrats will let a president have a 30% approval rating. Why, anything he has to say, why should it bother them?
Well, it's not only that, but it's clear that this president has ignored the Congress, or when it was under Republican control, just taken it for granted. And I think the Democrats are moving in the right direction on many fronts, with investigations, with hearings, by issuing subpoenas, by putting pressure on in as many areas as they can. But here, I just reached the position, Stephen, that you cannot bargain with the terrorists who are in control of the White House right now.
No, the only thing
they understand is no more money.
I totally agree with you. And I don't understand why the Democrats won't do it, because they're afraid of what the Republicans are going to say about them.
Yep, it's because they're covering their asses, they're reading their polls, and they're saying, well, you know, the most important thing is for me to hold on to my seat.
Yes. I totally agree with you.
And as long as that's the calculation, I think we're going to be frustrated here, Stephen. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I got to run. Trigger's here. Going to saddle up and ride off. Well, the sunset's an hour away. Enjoy the sunshine today, and we'll do it again tomorrow right here.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares?
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's the back looking? Something up with me.
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. With new questions about White House influence on the ouster of 8 federal prosecutors, Democratic leaders in Congress say the Attorney General should be the next to go, but he's hanging tough, at least for now. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod reports.
Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says he's taking the blame, but won't resign.
I believe in accountability. Like every CEO of a major organization, I am responsible for what happens at the Department of Justice. I acknowledge that mistakes were made here. I accept that responsibility.
Democrats say Gonzalez was carrying out political wishes of the White House when he fired 8 U.S. attorneys, not for bad performance as stated, but to clear the way for prosecutors who'd be friendlier to the administration's political agenda.
Democrats say they'll expand their investigations and might call Gonzalez and certain White House officials to testify under oath. More than 5 years after the terrorist attacks, CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports the Senate has approved more security reform.
The measure, adopting many of the leftover recommendations of the 9/11 Commission, would add billions more to Homeland Defense, working to make sure police and fire radios can all talk to each other, and examining cargo put on planes. And it would let airport security screeners join a union with other federal workers. That last provision has prompted a veto threat from President Bush, but this bill won't get to him until it is merged with a House version passed in January.
At Orlando International Airport today, the TSA started sporadic screenings of employees who enter secure areas. Last week, it was revealed that 2 baggage handlers used their IDs and uniforms to bypass security and put guns and marijuana on a flight to Puerto Rico. The closing bell came not a moment too soon. The Dow dropped 242 points today, brought down, reports CBS's Alexis Christophorus, by a report that mortgage defaults are way up.
There's a lot of carnage in the mortgage market, beginning with the subprime mortgage market. But the larger concern is this going to now have a ripple effect and spill over into the more traditional mortgage market? Is it now going to be tougher for people not only with bad credit, but people who would have qualified for a traditional loan months ago? Will it be more difficult for these people to now get a mortgage?
Dow closed at 12,075. That O.J. Simpson book, If I Did It, might see the light of day after all. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports a judge in Los Angeles decided the book should be used to help pay a civil